Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today. Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, plans to travel to Russia this month to meet the president, Vladimir Putin. This is according to a US official. The two leaders will discuss the possibility of North Korea providing Moscow with weapons to support its war in Ukraine. Well, I'm joined on the line by John Everard, former British ambassador to North Korea. John, you're very welcome. Good to talk to you again.
Good morning.
So what do you make of these reports from a US official saying that this visit to Russia is going to happen, Kim Jong-un travelling there? Do you think it's likely?
I think there are big question marks. I mean, there's a lot that doesn't feel right about this visit. Firstly, the two leaders don't need to meet to sign an arms deal. They could have, for example, their defense ministers do that. We had Defense Minister Shoigu of Russia in Pyongyang just a few weeks ago. So why go to the level of Kim and Putin? Secondly, if this is all about the North Koreans and the Russians signaling to the world they have a close relationship, then normal international protocol applies. And the protocol for this visit is all wrong. It's Putin's turn to come to North Korea, not Kim's turn to go to Russia. So there are question marks hanging over the visit. Moreover, I mean, now that the visit has been announced, you know, insofar as it was ever planned, I think, you know, that the North Korean security people will be very cautious. Kim Jong-un is obsessively secretive about his travel plans, and he really doesn't like things being announced in advance. In 2019, when the Russians announced the last Kim-Putin summit a few days in advance, the North Koreans were incandescent with fury. They didn't quite call it off, but they came very close.
And what we're hearing is that Kim will travel by train to the port city of Vladivostok. I mean, that seems in itself unlikely to happen, and that his security detail have gone ahead of him and secured the route and so on. Do you think that that is bizarre that we know that?
I think, yes. I mean, to have that kind of detail in advance of a Kim Jong-un visit would be most unusual. Vladivostok as a venue is plausible. I mean, it's quite easy to get to by train. I say easy, you know, it's a long train journey by European standards, but not by Asian standards. It would, of course, mean Vladimir Putin coming all the way to the Russian Far East. It's a long way from Moscow, but it's not entirely impossible.
And why do you think this is, that, you know, we have the normal protocols not being adhered to, as you explained earlier, that it's actually Putin's turn to go to North Korea and that that would be reversed if this visit were to happen? What do you think is really happening here?
I don't have a good answer to why the normal protocols are not being observed. Normally, the North Koreans are obsessive about these things. And if the visit does go ahead, I reiterate the question marks, then, you know, there would have to be a good reason for protocol to be broken. And there doesn't seem to be such a good reason. I mean, the Russians here are the ones who really, really want this deal. They are desperate for more munitions. They're getting through enormous quantities of shells every day on the battlefield in Ukraine, and it's becoming quite apparent that their own industry simply cannot keep pace. So they want access to North Korean shells. In that kind of situation, with, you know, all the power on the North Korean side, why didn't the North Koreans insist that Putin come to Pyongyang? We don't know.
And when it comes to weapons, you mentioned North Korean shells. What might North Korea have that Russia desperately wants?
North Korea has quite big stockpiles of conventional shells, which would fit Russian guns. I mean, the North Korean artillery is effectively copied from old Soviet artillery. The big problem is that North Korea, being North Korea, a fantastically corrupt country, that the money dedicated to looking after the fuses for these shells, which have been kept in storage for some time now, has almost certainly been stolen. And if you don't renew the fuses, clean them, keep them dry, the shells will simply fail. Now, there's an indication that's already happening. There was some kind of probably small-level Russian North Korean arms deal some months ago, probably in exchange for Russian grain. We saw a Russian grain freighter go to North Korea shortly after. At a time when the Ukrainians reported that a lot of the shells the Russians were firing at them were simply failing to explode. Now, we can't be sure, but it does look rather as if those were North Korean shells and they were duds.
But the Russians want more of them, even though they don't work.
Yes, that's right. It's a measure of Russian desperation, isn't it? Perhaps they're hoping that the North Koreans will start to produce fresh shells for them, which is a possibility. But unless the North Korean arms industry is much larger and much more productive than we think, that probably wouldn't give Russia enough shells to make a real difference on the battlefield. We don't know much about the North Korean arms industry. Most of the big arms factories are kept underground, very nasty places, dark, cramped and dangerous to work in, but well out of the way of the eyes, so to speak, of Western satellites. And nobody has any clear idea of just how many shells North Korea could produce or how soon.
And for North Korea, is this deal, if it were to go ahead, solely about the money?
No, it's about international prestige as well. It is about food. Russia seems to have paid for the first modest shipment of shells with grain. I think we'll see more of that. But also about technology. The North Koreans always swear blind that they are developing their missile systems in particular all by themselves. But their latest intercontinental ballistic missile bears a very striking resemblance to an established Russian missile, the Topol. I doubt if that's entirely coincidence. I think it's possible that the Russians gave them the blueprints as part of the deal.
And explain to me why the Americans are so worried about this meeting and this deal between these two states. Is this about China in reality?
Yes, I think a lot of it is about China. The Americans have been working very hard to prevent other countries supply Russia with weapons. Most of the time they've held this line, although, of course, we have seen Iranian drones being used by the Russian side in the war in Ukraine. If, however, the North Koreans not only start to supply Russia with munitions, but actually register the fact in a special summit between Kim and Putin, then the pressure on China to follow suit, finally to start supplying Russia with weaponry, would be intense. And for China to supply Russia with weapons, that will be a game changer. I mean, the Chinese arms industry is huge and would make a tremendous difference on the Ukrainian battlefield.
John, thank you very much. John Everard there, former British ambassador to North Korea. Now, next, we're going to go back to some news that I mentioned earlier. Anna Marie McHugh will join us about that government request to use the national ploughing site for refugee accommodation. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.